Hey, Zero Block 30 listeners, you can find us every Tuesday and Friday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. Prime members can also listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
It's a Tuesday edition here on this Thanksgiving week, and today we are presented by our good friends at ArborTech. ArborTech tools are the best tools if you want to do wood carving, if you want to create something, because COVID is spiking all throughout the United States. It's terrible, to the point where in Texas they had to call up the National Guard to load bodies.
I don't know if you can we not do ArborTech tool with that. Sorry.
What? No, I'm saying like you don't want to go if you don't want to go out and do. Kate has a cringy face. Just trust me a little bit, Catherine here. I mean, I've done a lot of ad reads. I know what I'm doing.
Okay.
So you have people getting loaded up on trucks. If you want to make your gift at home and not go to those super crowded stores and you want to make people things, go to ArborTechTools.com. ArborTechTools.com/zero. You're gonna get 25% off on this lovely Thanksgiving weekend. You could beat the rush, you could beat the stores, and it'll be delivered to your front door wherever you live. Pretty incredible. Make sure that you're carving wood with ArborTechTools.com/zero for 25% off. Today we have four rounds of the magazine. Round number one. It's Thanksgiving week, so we're going to talk about what other podcasts don't have the courage to do on this holiday season. That's right, folks. It's farts. And those same farts threats to national security, not just here, but especially off the waters in Sweden. Round number two, I want to play a game. Let's see if this headline is about U.S. enlisted troops or Russians. Seven people died this week drinking hand sanitizer when they ran out of booze at a party. Round number three, reported to the barracks manager or to a news outlet by Sex Pistols star Johnny Rotten. The quote is, I got my penis bitten by fleas because I was keeping squirrels as pets. And finally, round number four, a final way to wrap things up, we're going to talk about some things that we're thankful for. For example, I'm thankful that I'm not like this British bloke who is suffering from blindness and paralysis in a hospital in India after being bitten by a cobra while battling coronavirus. Malaria and the dang fever. Not a good day
dang
for that dude.
Dang it,
that guy is fucked. I mean, honest to God, that would be, I don't know how it gets worse.
Yeah, I don't know what you do to deserve that, because one of
malaria,
those by themselves is bad.
And coronavirus.
Yeah,
goodness gracious,
that's the Oregon Trail gone real wrong.
Let's do a special Thanksgiving edition of the song. Here's that gospel hits. Beans, greens, tomatoes, and all that other stuff. Kate gets to take old Spork on his first trip to Grammy and Grandpa's house. So exciting. Are you pumped for that, Catherine?
Yeah, pending getting the COVID test, and then I'm hopping in the car with old Sporkmeister. So we'll see. My parents' house is not a pet-friendly house. And I think they said that he could come down out of the kindness of their hearts, but I don't think they're looking forward to it. He's a scratchy guy, and they have a lot of nice furniture, so... We'll see.
Yeah, that's always a good thing. I had a not great weekend with pets at all. Not a great weekend with pets. Had nothing to do with Sprinkle Dinkles, Baby Dale, or Baby Gus.
Oh.
It wasn't their fault at all. Saturday morning at, I guess it was about 6 o'clock in the morning, Baby Dale jumped up on Annalise on the bed, and he doesn't do that usually. Like, he sleeps with Gus throughout the night and just hangs out. He was running all over Annalise, so she thought, oh, Baby Dale's being good. He's potty trained. He needs to go outside. He's about to wet himself. Not the case. I opened up the door. Gus and Baby Dale run outside and straight run into the, like, start running to the fence. At that moment, there's just enough light that I see, like, this big black ball, like, by the fence. And there had been skunks in the area. And instantly, I mean, as soon as Gus got off the porch, I could start to smell the skunk, like, right away.
No.
Gus runs over to the skunk, gets it straight in the face. I mean, like, it was basically a Boondock Saints Point Blank Range moment where it was just straight to the fucking dome. I instantly start screaming out, Gus, Baby Dale, come. Gus takes off running back because I'm hoping that he doesn't get sprayed, like, legit and what it was, like, peripheral, but it hit him in the face to the point where he comes inside, barely touches Annalise, and then Annalise starts dry heaving like she's going to puke because the smell is so bad.
Oh, no.
And she's very sensitive to smells. So I kick Gus out, kick Baby Dale out, and I have to spend the next, I spent legitimately from 6 in the morning to 2 o'clock in the afternoon cleaning Gus, like over and over and over again.
I just picture that scene living in your neighborhood and you running out like the guy in Billy Madison with just your boots and your underwear on and screaming Gus and Baby Dale and what your neighbors might be thinking when you're screaming out Gus and Baby Dale.
And I told Kate, we talked
about
it on Friday, that I was going to try to get rid of this damn skunk. This skunk is huge. Like, I don't know. I've never seen a skunk this big. It was enormous. It got Gus right in the face. I've never seen a dog have something smell so bad. He was legitimately foaming at the mouth, like at the door. You could see him through the glass pane, and all across his mouth was foam. He was like shaking his head. You could tell he was legit miserable. Our whole house still stinks. Like, days later, still stinks. I went to Marshall's and Lowe's and got any type of deodorizer that I could get. I had legitimately probably 15 of the big candles, like I'm showing the cons of Kate now. The huge candles. I had all of those burning all throughout the house. Still stinks like hell. Annalise last night somehow pulled a back muscle to the point where she can't even move. She's laid up in bed. This holiday season is starting off poorly.
That's the wrong foot, my friend. I am very sorry to hear all of this.
Yeah, it was terrible.
As you're talking, I'm looking up what makes skunks smell. It's called Thiol, the stuff that they spray chaps. Did you know?
I did it.
And it's an organic compound with sulfur as the main component. That gives it the rotten egg smell. And then there's other, all sorts of other gases, all sorts of other stuff in there. It can be smelled from over half a mile away.
Yeah, so it's fucking terrible. And sulfur, spoiler alert for those seminarians listening, that's what they say hell smells like, is burning sulfur.
Huh?
So yeah.
I never heard that.
Hell, and you want, you guess what you're going to be smelling? Skunk for eternity. Yeah. That's enough for me to invite the Lord into my heart right there.
It can cause temporary blindness and definitely nausea as well. And that's probably why he was foaming at the mouth. But he's been sprayed many times, this guy. He's got to figure it out, man.
I have figured out a way to get rid of the smell, though. And I want to tell that to the listeners. We are all of us here on the podcast, familiar with douches, like Summer's Eve and things like that.
Cons.
It gets rid of a terrible smell. If you wet your skunked dog or cat or person, if you wet them and then take the powdered douche, the powdered Summer's Eve, and you cover them with it, let it sit for 10 minutes, rub it into their fur with like a little rubber comb, then wash it out and give them a regular bath. It takes away like 80 to 90% of the skunk smell.
Was the person at CVS wondering why you were buying like a 10-pound bucket of Summer's Eve?
No, I actually ordered it from Amazon, and it was, I bought the 6-pack. So they must think that we have some really stinky cooches in here.
Real yeasty family over there. My goodness.
The whole squad's yeasty.
Oh, my God.
Some cooking bread.
Speaking of the holidays, you dropped the blog today that I think we should just not waste any time and address right now. You have doubled down on your hatred of ham. And listen, while I agree with your sentiment that we should not be bound by these quote-unquote rules of Thanksgiving and any holiday for that matter on what is served, although if I go anywhere on Thanksgiving and there's not mashed potatoes, I'm fighting somebody. So I agree. Like, you don't necessarily have to do turkey if you don't like turkey. I don't think ham is as bad as you make it out to be, though.
Ooh.
Kate, your thoughts.
Rough take.
This coming from the woman who eats out of a can. May I remind you, she eats out of a can.
I'm saying, Cons. I eat a lot of ham. And so I'm saying, do you really want that on your Thanksgiving table?
No, I would not serve that on Thanksgiving.
It's an Easter. First of all, it's an Easter food. Second of all, it's always sliced too thick. There's always all this fat you got to get off it. It always sucks, dude. It's it's a time waster.
Way too much sodium. And I don't think people, because I say ham is for pores, that doesn't mean sandwiches. Like, the next day, if you have a little breakfast sandwich with some ham on it, that's fire. See, if you have just a normal ham sandwich on any given day, that's great. But to go for a ham as the star of your Thanksgiving, fuck out of my face.
No, I agree with that.
If I walked into a place now and they had ham, I might just go home. I might just fucking go home and go to Taco Bell on the way through, get a cheesy Gordita Crunch and call it a day.
Not today, Satan. I agree with you in that it shouldn't be served on Thanksgiving. That shouldn't be an option. I like your prime rib option. I think that's a good option, and I think it has to be considered. What am I serving for breakfast the next morning? And prime rib is great because steak and eggs cannot be beat the next morning. So I just don't think it's for pores. That's all.
My parents, it's just my parents and I this year, we're keeping it small, and we're just ordering from a restaurant.
That's so smart.
We're not doing any of that stuff. I think I'm getting a steak.
Everybody but Kyle has spent significant time in Texas. HEB here has like a fancier store called Central Market. And they have, you can order ahead of time, and we did it last year, where you get like unbelievable mashed potatoes. Everything that they cook is great, and we just got a bunch of the sides, and then I just cooked the meat. Like I smoked the turkey or fried the turkey or whatever. I'm doing both this year, by the way. And I think that that is a great option. So you don't have to, one, you don't have to make your house hot as fuck. Because people don't talk about that enough. Like on holidays, like Thanksgiving, every house is miserable because you leave somewhere to go to somebody's house, it'll be 40 degrees in the morning. Afternoon time, it warms up, it's going to be 65, 70, but you're still dressed the way that you went over there. You're wearing a sweater or something like that. They're cooking a turkey. It's been in the oven for 4 hours. Every single one of the burners on the stove is on, and you're just sitting there miserable, hot as shit. Then you get overstuffed, eat too much food. You have the meat sweats, and you're hot, just doubly terrible.
Try doing it when you have seven aunts going through menopause, dude.
Oh, I thought you were going to say pregnant.
No.
Pregnant might be difficult, too. I guess we'll find out. But also, too, I guess the little bit of a reprieve this year is you probably won't have the same amount of folks in the same place. Because obviously, when you get a lot of people together, the body heat goes up considerably as
meat
well.
Meat, sweat, body heat of a group. Gross, dude. Yeah.
Kate, are you excited to be able to bust out the old eating for two joke?
Absolutely. I'm about to change my Twitter handle right now. It's old Katie tweeting for two. I'm about to change it to old Katie turkey for two. So I'm very excited. Yeah.
Do you think the baby likes dark meat or white meat?
I hope dark. And that's the way to go. Anybody who white meat is for the sandwiches the following day with a lot of mayo and some salt and pepper, little tomato, little lettuce. Dark meat is where it's at.
Especially if you have somebody who can't cook. If you can't cook, you got to go with the dark meat.
I will never forget the year at my grandmom's house, which we're talking like 100 people came to this Thanksgiving every year, the 13 kids, blah, 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 all their families. My Aunt Helen thought the dark meat was giblets and threw it out.
What's wrong with Aunt Helen? Jeez.
Yeah. There was like almost like a mutiny. So yeah, be careful out there with who's out your turkey when you're not paying attention. Because too many cooks come in the kitchen. Also at a big crowd of Thanksgiving.
A big crowd of Thanksgiving. Everyone's got an opinion, you know? Yeah. Just stay out of the kitchen.
Yeah.
They don't need your help.
It kind of happened to us one year. A friend thought that they were trying to help, like, clean up. And, you know, the drippings is what you take to make the gravy.
Yeah.
And they just dumped it all down the drain.
Ugh, what a waste.
And we used to take the drippings and make, like, a minestrone soup with it, like a turkey minestrone soup. And it was fantastic, and we couldn't do it that year. I was very upset.
Did you ever have to do, I know a couple Thanksgivings I couldn't get back home when I was in the Marine Corps. Did I mention I was in the Marine Corps? I'd say that
have Amazon Prime.
But when you get voluntold to go to like a staff sergeant's house for Thanksgiving or something.
Oh, that must be horrible.
And you have to get dressed in like your like civilian attire, the proper civilian attire. I'm like in a buttoned up blouse with like a collar on it on Thanksgiving at someone's house. So I'm like,
didn't they make you watch the kids?
Oh, yeah, that was
so fucked up.
And so later that night, they all went out to a bar and they're like, she's a girl, watch the kids. And they all went out to bars. And then aunts got on. They had also
agree to that.
Yeah, seriously. You may be a woman, but you're still an adult.
This was back when like a higher up said something. You were like, yes, staffs aren't. No stuff. Yeah, like this was back when it was like I couldn't say no.
What a terrible NCO that is though. Like, hey, we're gonna go have a great time on Thanksgiving night. You stay here and watch our kids.
Oh yeah, I like cleaned their house. I didn't know what to do with myself. Yeah, I was like, I guess I'll field day. But yeah, then they had also ordered a pizza for some reason, and aunts got on the pizza. And when they all came back from the bar, they thought it was hilarious to microwave the ant covered pizza and eat it with ants on it.
Anyway, that was a great Thanksgiving. That's kind of silly, but sounds to me like you have some questionable leadership in your past.
Doesn't everyone? Don't we all?
I don't know about that, though. I don't know that I ever would ask someone.
Basically, the entire theme of this podcast.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought we were just going to talk about food for an hour. We're not?
Yeah. Okay. All right, let's actually get into some of the topics of the day. The first one comes from Sweden. We don't do a lot of Sweden goofing on the show. I love this story, though. It's right in our wheelhouse. Kate, what do we got?
First of all, I would like to say I played NCAA Division II field hockey under a Swedish coach, and he brought over to join our team four women from Sweden who played professional. Field hockey is like a big deal over there.
Yes, it is.
They were like pros in Sweden. He brought them over to play on our team. They're all like 30 years old. They were like right at the NCAA limit. And they're like, oh, that passed the Pannekuchen. We're like, ah, Jesus. Anyway, it was a real treat. But back to the story, just getting you into the Sweden zone here. It's perfectly feasible that in the 1980s, a major diplomatic incident between nuclear superpowers could have been triggered by fish farts. In fact, Russia and Sweden nearly came to blows over this very thing. They just didn't know it at the time. Now, where did you find this?
I don't know. Well, I was just searching weird military stories and it came up.
I mean,
just curious.
Do we even have to ask where Chaps finds things anymore? I mean, considering some of the photos he's been sharing in the group chat recently, just assume he's gone off completely off the reservation.
Well, back to the story. Before we move on to farts, first some background. In 1981, a Soviet sub ran aground on the south coast of Sweden, just 6.2 miles from a Swedish naval base. The Soviets claimed they were forced into that territory by severe distress and later navigation errors, while Sweden saw it as proof that the Soviet Union was infiltrating Swedish waters. It didn't help that when Swedish officials secretly measured for radioactive materials using gamma ray spectroscopy, they detected that they were 90% sure was uranium-23 inside the sub, indicating that it may have nukes on it.
And can I say before we move on, I had no idea that Sweden even had waters. Like, I didn't know that they laid claim to any waters.
If
you told me Sweden has international waters, I'd have been like, that's not true.
They're like a seafaring Viking people.
But I didn't think they still. I think the Swedish people was like big pussies, where they don't have their own waters.
Well, you should have seen these field hockey gals.
There's definitely some significant waters near Sweden.
I mean, because you don't think Swedish like Vikings anymore. You think Swedish like Sven that's going to the Alps to go ski.
Yes, yes.
These girls could have tied you into a pretzel, pal.
That's Switzerland. Saying.
They were, well, these are little Switzerland
bones.
Well,
back in my day, I would have let them.
Anyway, the submarine was returned to international waters, but the Swedish government remained alert, convinced that Russian subs could still be operating near their territory, which is when they started to pick up elusive underwater signals and sounds. In 1982, several of Sweden's subs, boats, and helicopters pursued one of these unidentified sources for an entire month, only to come up empty-handed. So they're out there chasing what they think are Russian subs because they're getting these little signals. It's continued for over a decade. Every time they picked up an acoustic signal, they would search and find nothing but for a few bubbles on the sea's surface.
God, Sweden. That has to piss you off, too. If you're the person in, like, one of those rooms, I always think of, you're watching something on a radar, I immediately think that every room that you do that on looks like The Hunt for Red October.
Yes.
Where you're just in this super dark room, they only use red lights above you, and you're like, there's more bubbles on the sea. We've got to figure it out. They're Australian, Swedish.
So. For over a decade, they're chasing these bubbles. Sweden was, of course, worried about intrusions and couldn't think why. With the Cold War over now, Russia would continue to do this. But it was farts, everyone. It was farts. We were brought into this very secret room under the naval base in Bergen and Stockholm. So this fella named Magnus Wahlberg says, we were brought into this very secret room under the naval base in Bergen and Stockholm. This is him in a TED Talk in 2012 telling this story. We were sitting there with all these officers, and they were actually playing these sounds for us. It was the first time any civilian heard the sound. He had been imagining it to sound like the ping you hear in films when a submarine is detected, that like ping, ping. That used to be my dad's ringtone for my mom, by the way. Even the noise of a propeller. It was nothing like that, Wahlberg said. It sounded like someone frying bacon, like small air bubbles releasing underwater. He and a colleague began the task of figuring out what was making the bubbles on a scale that would make Sweden think it was dealing with a nuclear sub.
See, that, like, I don't like to say people are stupid and have hindsight 2020, but how do you hear something that sounds like sizzling bacon and your automatic assumption is that it's a nuclear submarine from Russia? Like, that's a pretty big jump.
Yeah, it's a huge leap.
A lot of baggage from the Cold War, I would say. Even countries carry baggage around.
Paranoia, big time.
It turns out the fish herring, have a swim bladder, and the swim bladder is connected to the anal duct of the fish. It's a very unique connection only found in herring. So a herring can squeeze its swim bladder, and that way it can blurt out bubbles through an anal opening. In layman's terms, they let one rip. Herrings swim in gigantic schools that can reach several square kilometers up to 65 feet deep. When something frightens them, they pretty much all rip a huge fart at once. So they tested out this theory. It turned out to be true. So for about a decade, Sweden was chasing herring farts under the sea, thinking it was Russia with nukes in their submarine. Since they figured out what it was, they've had zero reports of hostile intruders in Swedish waters. That's crazy.
Imagine having to go
to your supervisor and tell them it's not actually a nuclear submarine. The last couple of years we've been searching, because the amount of money that you spend if you're doing helicopter searches, boat searches, all kinds of shit looking for submarines, that has to be a pretty penny that they spent searching for whatever it was, and then it's just fish farts.
Yeah,
I mean, come on.
I don't know how many, but it has to be a real large school of herrings, because herrings are a very tiny fish. So imagine.
Well, it said 65 feet deep. Like, that's a shit ton of herring.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, you know, to produce something that would be caught up on the sonar there. Can I say something that might be a little ridiculous?
By all means.
With all of the technology in this world, the fact, I really can't believe I'm going to say this, but the fact that submarines don't have windows is pretty crazy. That they're just driving around and they don't even get to look out and see anything that's going on. And
it's a huge
I completely
bummer.
Agree with that, Cons. I think that they've got to revamp the submarines. If you want to recruit people, you've got to figure out a way to get some windows in those.
Yeah.
Because it would be awesome. I mean, think about it. Right now, being a submarine pilot or the captain of a submarine ship would be boring as fuck.
Yeah.
It's just like sitting there and just cruising around, you don't see where you're going. That's half the fun of driving, is being like, how can you see, oh, there's a school of fish, oh, there's a narwhal, oh, look at us, we're in Sweden, there's some fish farts. You don't get to see any of that stuff.
No, and
you're just driving a submarine.
We're gonna get somebody in our mentions like, oh, we have cameras that can look out. That's not the same.
It's not the same
at all. You need to have windows, because also if you have windows, you're not gonna drive up on shore of Sweden and mess that up. So
that's true.
Get some freaking windows on your submarines. Navies,
I mean, they got
across the world.
Glass, that's got to be strong enough, right?
Come on, yeah. Seriously. I don't know. They need to figure that out.
I think we can all agree.
Yeah,
those little submarines that, what's his name? James Cameron used to go down and see the Titanic. It's got fucking glass under, and they had to go super deep.
Exactly.
You're right. There's no excuse,
so it can
really
be done. I don't want to hear any more excuses. Just tell me why it can happen.
Other note, swim bladders control how a fish goes up and down in the water, right? Like how it goes, the amount of air in it. Like when you hold your breath in the pool and when
scuba
you
scuba diver.
Yeah, when you let out your air. So I love that a herring controls its depth by farts. That's pretty
yeah,
sweet.
Yeah, that's why herring are known to have big bean diets, because they like to go down far. They need to. Big bean fans.
And how else would they do it if not for the beans?
True.
Yep.
Sea beans.
Musical
right.
fruit, some say. All right, let's move on to round number two. Round number two is brought to you by our good friends at Rocky Boots. If you need a Christmas gift, Rocky Boots is the way to go. They build boots for men and women who serve and protect the country. No matter what branch of service you're in, they have boots for you. They have some that are Marine Corps, Army, Navy, Air Force, even Space Force, I would imagine, and our beloved friends in the Coast Guard. They have boots for you, too, and you can get them for the low, low price of 25% off if you use RockyBoots.com into the promo code ZBT. They are unbelievably comfortable boots. They have stuff if you're just working in the shop, working in Afghanistan, working wherever you can work. You can always work in Rocky Boots, RockyBoots.com. Enter the promo code ZBT. When you check out, you're going to get 25% off. 25% off for boots is unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
That's such a great deal that you want to come back after your holiday block leave, showing your NCO, showing that junior officer that you took time to square yourself away whenever you were on leave. You came back looking so fresh and so clean. You look great because you have your Rocky Boots on at RockyBoots.com. Enter the promo code ZBT for 25% off. Round number two, we're going to head over to Russia. Russia's in the first two rounds. This one is a story that we can all relate to, because if you spent time in the barracks, inevitably, whenever you have a little Friday, Saturday party, you're going to run out of booze. So I can see this happening in a barracks room for sure. Seven people have died from drinking hand sanitizer after the party they were at ran out of alcohol, according to reports out of Russia. It's understood some nine people began drinking the antiseptic wash, which is 69% methanol. Nice. Two men, aged 27 and 59, as well as a 41-year-old woman, were the first to die. Six others were urgently flown by medical evacuation aircraft to a hospital in the city of Yakutsk. What the fuck is that?
Sure.
City?
Sure.
Yeah. Yakutsk. Sadly, another four did not survive, while two are currently fighting for their life in a hospital. The poisoning took place as a result of drinking hand sanitizer, the regional state prosecutor said. Authorities in Russia are again pleading with locals to refrain from drinking the hand sanitizer. I think that this is the most Russian story I can imagine.
Yeah.
I just always picture Russian folks just boozed out of their gourds.
Yeah, there's
right?
nothing else to do. Absolutely. And I have to say, hand up, honestly, I was 50-50 on whether this was U.S. enlisted or Russia until you told the story just now. I didn't scroll and to see because I was kind of wanting to be surprised. But also, we've all been there, though, too, where you – and I mean, this isn't a surprise to anyone – you start boozing, and next thing you know, your judgment goes well out the window. So even if you were sober, you'd know, like, oh, we shouldn't drink hand sanitizer. You're 12 beers deep. Hand sanitizer doesn't seem like as bad of an idea.
Oh, yeah.
You know what that moment is for me? When you if you start drinking just straight up brandy, I think you know that you've gone too far.
Like anytime you start drinking liqueurs and stuff.
We have brandy for, like, baking and shit.
Yeah.
Like, we'll put it in brownies or whatever. If we're out, and then I'm like, gotta have a glass of brandy. Mm. I think that's when you know, let's just go to bed. Let's just start again tomorrow.
Well, people forget too, like in high school, we used to robo trip all the time. Like after a school dance, if we couldn't get our hands on alcohol, we would all buy Robitussin and chug it. Like, and
oh, yeah. And even you could go with the Walmart brand, just get some straight up Tussin.
That's what we did. And I'll tell you what, if you feel like in Harry Potter when he gets all the bones zapped out of his body, you're like, whoa, I'm just a rubber ball, and you're just having a hoot. But you can see how that can go awry.
Yeah, you know? I mean, because really, I'm pretty sure the chemical makeup, we need a chemist to actually check this. But if you have the Robitussin, like the not grape one, just the regular straight up Robitussin, if you did a blind taste test, there's no chance that you could figure out which one is the Robitussin and which one is the Jägermeister. None. They taste almost exactly the same.
I would agree with that. Absolutely.
I don't know if they have deer blood in Robitussin.
Forgot that's part of old Jägermeister.
Yeah, it's part of the lore. Well, it doesn't. It isn't that silly. I mean, when you're talking about 69% methanol, nice. There is some actual booze out there that is just a little bit less and some more than that. Like, Kate, we've talked about it a few times on radio where you had some early experience in your early drinking days with Bacardi 151, right?
Yeah, 11th grade, New Year's Eve, when I weighed like 80 pounds and people were pouring 151 into a beer bong that I was chugging.
Oh,
like,
no.
An enormous amount of it. And I chugged. I wanted to impress everyone at the party, so I swallowed it.
As one does. I get that part of it.
But let me tell you a little something about Bacardi, alcohol poisoning.
Like, I hear Bacardi, I don't think super strong booze. Like, I think cocktail at the beach, I think it has a little umbrella in it. You can crush these all day. If you don't know what the 151 means, and you don't as a teen, early college person, 151 will kick your fucking dick in.
Yeah. I had no idea what the 151 meant. I was just told, like, always no to alcohol. My parents were like, no, no, no. And they never talked about it and what it was and how powerful it was. So I didn't know. I just was like, all right, let's fucking go. Also,
same thing with me and porn.
Exactly. Yeah, you don't realize it till your meat's raw.
What with buttholes?
Yeah, pardon me. There's a shore down the Jersey Shore. One of my favorite drinks. It's like the Sea Isles' main mixed drink is the 302 because 151 plus 151 is 302. It's these like almost like a daiquiri, but with two shots of 151 in it. You can't taste it, and so we always end up having like two or three, and by the time we hit the fourth one, we like people had to like carry us home.
The last time I drank 151, I was in New Orleans, and anyone who's been to New Orleans knows they have the hurricane drinks, which is same thing that Kate's talking about. And the alcohol is so incredibly masked by the fruit juices, and they're delicious. Next thing you know, I sucked down eight of these things. That like I don't, you guys know, I don't
eight
really
hurricanes. God.
Yeah. Now just
that
imagine.
Hangover. I mean, because that's basically like fucking sucking down a shit ton of pixie sticks covered in alcohol.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what it was. The one and only time in my life where I've been debilitated by a hangover to where I could not get out of bed.
It's the sugar. It's not even the booze. It's the sugar and booze.
Just that amount of sugar. Yeah, that was a bad idea.
Yeah.
Mine like that was Long Island iced tea. I thought it was legit tea with just a little bit of booze in it. I had no idea. It's basically all booze. Where it got me, because I wasn't a big drinker at all, the first time I really drank a lot was at MP school. Mm. And I went to, I believe it was like a Chili's or Applebee's or something like that outside of Fort Leonard Wood. And whenever I went there, I was like, oh, half off fucking Long Island iced teas. I'll give that a try. Next thing you know, I'm hammered, thrown up in the barracks parking lot and all kinds of stuff. It was bad. Like, if you don't know what's in something, it'll jack you up.
Oh, yeah. Forget it.
Go ahead, Kate.
I was going to read this one. Devil Springs Vodka 160 proof. So it was created from New Jersey, I guess. My goodness. That's something I wouldn't touch. John Crow Batty Rum 160 proof. Yeah, this stuff will knock you on your ass for sure.
White Hot Jamaican Rum is that one's called. There's also the biggest one on the list. I mean, I think everybody that went to college or was young at some point knows what Everclear is. Like, if you're going to make a little bit of jungle juice, you do it with Everclear. Everclear is 190 proof.
Well, this is not a good idea. Really, looking back on it now, it's just not smart. It's not prudent at all.
I got 10 jars of it.
That's the highest one, but there's one called Spiritus that's 192 proof. It just means alcohol in Polish, and it's one of the purest distillations and commercially available booze that has ever flowed across Earth. Its home country, the grain-based spirit, is usually used for infusing Polish medicinal. What do you even do with 192 proof?
I don't know, man. I don't know, because
96% proof alcohol.
I don't like. Where is that enjoyable to drink that? Because I don't imagine it could taste good. So you'd have to do something to it. I don't know. I wouldn't want to mess with that.
Have you had Everclear, Kate?
I dropped out of college and joined the Marine Corps. Sure, I've had a lot of Everclear. I used to love Everclear. So
Life Choices by Kate Mannion, brought to you by Everclear.
It's pretty much, it's moonshine, and we used to put all sorts of fruit and stuff in, like cherries in the Everclear jar.
Oh, yeah,
always be a big thing.
Then you eat the fruit, and then you just get even more sick.
Yeah, grapes and cherries and Everclear was always really good. We made jungle juice all the time in the trash cans.
Actually, I made jungle juice one time for a party at my parents' house, and I think I was, this was after college, or maybe I was still in college. Either way, one of my younger sister's friends drank it, ate too much of the fruit, and then threw up in my parents' basement. I just remember my dad going down to the basement on the carpet, because we had a finished basement, with fruit a chunks. Shovel, with a shovel, and picking up this fruit chunks. And then I wasn't allowed. My mother forbade me from making jungle juice ever again at a party.
Yeah, I have goosebumps on my arms after hearing that. That's, yeah. That NASCAR, of the Talladega, I think it was, they had me go do a shoot in the morning with the moonshiners from that TV show.
Oh, yeah.
And they are giving me every which kind of moonshine. It was like 9 in the morning. And then they're like, and now you got to go over to the track and shoot this. And I was like, what? Pardon me? So, yeah, that was a hoot.
Well, I guess the moral of the story is, don't drink hand sanitizer. If you're going to drink
hand sanitizer,
this is a good thing, because there's going to be a lot of troops that normally would go home for Thanksgiving, and they aren't going home this year. So you're going to be stuck in the barracks. What do you want to do when you're stuck in the barracks? You want to get fucking boozed out of your mind. Don't do it with hand sanitizer. Make sure you go down to the shop bed or the 7-day. You get plenty of booze, normal booze, red wines, your beers, whatever you need. You get Pink Whitney's. Don't be drinking hand sanitizer.
Don't you dare tell young men in the barracks and women in the barracks to be drinking red wine. That is a recipe for disaster.
Mm. Oh, I used to do it. Me and my buddy Andrew. Andrew Reed, whenever we had the biggest snow day ever in Washington, D.C., I believe it was in like 2011, 2010-ish, it dropped like 48 inches in 3 days of snow in D.C., which is a shit ton for that area. And everything was shut down. And the only thing left at the shopette was box red wine.
Oh,
so Andrew and I just got like 4 or 5 boxes and went back to his room. and just got fucking hammered. And then went out and made snow angels and did all kinds of stuff. We made a big old snowman. We put him in camis. It was a great time.
That's a lovely memory, I'll tell
you.
It is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It is. It is very lovely. Not as lovely as having ticks and fleas bite on your penis, like in round number three. This one is about the Sex Pistols star, Johnny Rotten. That's an unbelievable name. Johnny yes. Rotten.
It absolutely is. It's one of the all-time greats in rock and roll history.
So what happened with old Johnny Rotten, Catherine?
Well, the Sex Pistols rocker has been attacked by small parasitic bugs, which have left itchy bites all over his body, including, I'm going to say it, his penis. Mm-hmm. He said, I looked down there this morning at my willy, and there's a fucking flea bite on it, and there's another one on the inside of my leg. I imagine that's how he talks. Mr. Rotten, age 64.
I like the fact that he had to use visual to know.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
How do
yes.
you not feel that?
Yeah.
Well, a flea, I feel like a flea is small enough that you might not feel it, right?
Oh, no. I think you're going to feel it.
Maybe, maybe not. Kate, could you please continue this in your English voice, though, please?
Well, here's how we got, as somebody in the college rugby house who had fleas once, it's not a treat, I'll tell you that much. Anyways, John, age 64, endured his flea bites after he befriended a bunch of squirrels at his Venice Beach home in L.A. and has said he's taken to smothering himself in Vaseline to ease his discomfort because he doesn't want to blame the poor squirrels. He adds the bites. Wow, last night was murder because of it. The itching, too. It's such a proxy thing to get caught out on. The only way around it, because I'm not going to blame the poor little squirrels, is to Vaseline me legs. I just hope they don't get the wrong idea.
He's talking about getting fucked by fleas right. there. I also think, why not give the squirrels a flea treatment? Why not go down to your local PetSmart and just get some Frontline and HeartGuard and put on the squirrels?
Or, here's a thought, just be a normal person and don't keep animals as pets that aren't meant to be pets. Like, you see these videos.
I disagree on that.
No,
you think Johnny
no.
Rotten's not going to have some fucking kitten or a goldfish. Like, you go over to Johnny Rotten's house, you expect to see a goddamn squirrel.
No, I go to Johnny Rotten's, I expect him to be a snake guy. That would make perfect sense. Maybe even a few parakeets. Squirrels? What are you doing with squirrels?
Parakeets.
Well, he explained in his new book, I could be wrong, I could be right. I'm determined to keep my squirrel friends independent, you know. There's no petting. If all of a sudden he's a fancy British man. If they want to nudge up, that's fine. But I know for a peanut and not because I'm lovely. So he understands there's a mutual relationship that these are wild animals. He said, wow, they do love me for the food I buy for them. I'm definitely spending a lot of money on these little fuckers. So he's basically that raccoon man of Venice Beach. He's
yeah.
just covered in these squirrels, giving them peanuts and stuff like that. But he's getting fleas as a result. So maybe he should cut that
we
out.
We used to have the head trainer that was a civilian at Lackland. He was an unbelievable trainer of dogs and just had, he had a PhD in animal psychology, and he adopted this little squirrel and trained this squirrel to do everything. Like, it was insane the things the squirrel could do. And I always was super jealous, but I don't, even though I know a lot about training dogs and things like that, how you can get those animals to listen to you is pretty incredible. Uh-huh. And if you could train a squirrel to do something, if you have a squirrel trained with like a clicker and you could be like, come here, and you click it and then the squirrel runs and jump over you, there is no bigger, better way to start dating someone or hook up with somebody than that.
I could think of a few other ideas, but sure.
No,
okay.
You're not super impressed if you go over to somebody's house and they click it and a squirrel comes and pops into their hand?
Yeah, no, I'd probably just turn around and walk back out the door, to be very
I'm
honest.
Gonna say, oh, no, I'd start kissing.
This guy has different priorities than me, maybe. I don't know. I have a family member that was gardening, and they got attacked by a group of squirrels. They accidentally disturbed the nest, and they bite deep. They got like really messed up by these squirrels. So I would never, anything that's small like that, that can skitter around your body and you can't grab it fast enough. No way. Count me out. I'm done.
So spork.
Essentially my cat. Yes, basically.
And yeah. Your wrist bear witness to that. Totally. which is pretty great. All right. That's the story on old Johnny Rotten. Next up, The next story is going to be brought to you by our good friends at InVets. InVets, if you're facing a transition out of the military, it's rarely easy. It doesn't help that staggering number of options you're faced with can be overwhelming. There's a million different groups out there. Some are shady, some are not. This one is not. It's great. This is not just a place to pass through. It's a place out of town when you're talking about Indiana. If you've never been to Indiana, it's lovely. I think we have one of the biggest Indiana fans on this show, which is Kate.
Me.
Kate loves Indiana.
I love it out there. I was just on the phone with my cousin who lives out there last night. Indy 500 every year. Tons of great lake life. I'm a huge lake party lady. Mm-hmm. And just the friendliest people. And you can just, it is really cool communities that is actually affordable. So good spot.
Get a nice job because there's 80,000 current job openings there. Once you have your nice job, your nice paying job, you can go out and buy large march, the party barge, which would be a pontoon boat. You could steal Kate's name for her pontoon boat in the future.
True.
Indiana communities consistently rank as some of the top places to live and to raise a family. It is super affordable. If you don't believe me, just go on Zillow. Look on Zillow and check out what's going on in Indiana. The prices there are incredible. Go to invets.org/zero to create a profile, learn more about the Indiana communities, browse the current job openings, and receive a free t-shirt. Yes, you get a free shirt just for signing up. That's invets.org/zero, which the phonetic alphabet is what, Kate?
Ichabod. Negative. Very. Extreme. Tacos. Superb.
.org/zero. That's exactly right, Kate. We're gonna move on. What's the next story? Round four? What is that?
Yeah,
but
But
I'm sorry, real quickly. I don't want to get into cost of living. I understand how the economy works and what have you.
Oh, it's just, brag.
But you know, it's so annoying that there are certain parts of this country where it's so affordable to live, and other parts it's not. And I just think that's so stupid.
Well, because all you dummies that took an island, like a tiny little island, you're like, oh, yeah, well, let's cram 11 million people in this fucker.
That's a good point.
Fair point.
That's a good point.
It's fair two point. Kilometers. Let's go ahead and put 11 million people in here. How do we do it? I'll never understand how Manhattan doesn't sink. I mean, because that's a lot of buildings.
It's a lot of weight.
You would think that it would sink.
Can tell you, because I've read many books about it, the geology of Manhattan is built on what is known as Manhattan schist, chaps. Some of the sturdiest.
Very different from Schist Creek.
Yes, very different than Schitt's Creek. Manhattan schist, it goes way, 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 way deep into the ground. And that's why they can have such a good subway system there, too. It is like the most solid foundation that these buildings and subways and all that shit could possibly be on. They're set.
Still an all-time best story is when you had the dude in Okinawa convince the other dude you could swim underneath the
underneath
island.
It. Yeah.
Yeah. I need someone to try to swim under Manhattan right damn now.
And the same guy convinced the rest of us, or not the rest of us, but some of the other Marines that were there, that Mormons worship seagulls.
So. I believe it. I'm watching Real Housewives of Salt Lake right now. I think that could be.
What a great series.
Because one of the sergeants got super mad that one of the Marines was throwing rocks like near this big thing of seagulls that were out on the beach. We were trying to train the dogs there, and obviously the dogs can't chase after seagulls, so you like throw rocks and stuff to get the seagulls out of the way. One of the sergeants got super mad, and the other sergeant that was there is like, yeah, it's because he's Mormon and he doesn't want the seagulls to get hit because Mormons worship seagulls. We were like, whoa. That makes sense. No wonder Sergeant Hogan's fucking pissed. He's a big Mormon guy. Mm-hmm. All right, round number four comes to us from India. This one's a little bit of a British story because there's a British father who is suffering from blindness and paralysis in a hospital in India after being bitten by a snake, which was a cobra, and battling coronavirus, his family said. Ian Jones was in intensive care on Friday after being bitten by a black king cobra in a village on the northwest of the country. His son said the former healthcare worker had already experienced malaria and dengue fever during his few months in the country, where he has been running a charity that backed social enterprises aimed at helping people trade their way out of poverty. His family, who live with him on the Isle of Wight, told of their shock at what happened. He described his father as a fighter and saying that they hope the blindness and the paralysis are temporary. Yeah, I think that's always kind of what you hope whenever there's a little bit of blindness and paralysis. We talked about how we've had rough 2020s, a lot of us. Besides being dead, that guy kind of takes the cake.
Yeah, he wins.
It sucks too because he's not just some tourist like going through taking advantage of like cheap travel times right now. He's there with his charity trying to help people. And despite his illness, he says he still wants to help people and work with the country who needs his support. And so like he's a better person than I am, that's for damn sure.
You know what this guy reminds me of? He reminds me of a modern day Job, like where Job was, by all accounts, a really good guy that just had a terrible lot, lost all of his animals, all of his wealth, all of his kids, things like that. That's what this guy is doing. He seems like an absolute saint. Next thing you know, he's getting bit by a king cobra while having coronavirus. That's about as bad as, I mean, just the how scary it must be to look down and see that it was a king cobra that bit you. I mean, there's so many other poisonous snakes that are more poisonous than a king cobra, but the king cobra is the one that really sticks out in your brain. Is like, don't fuck with this snake. Yeah. To be bit by a king cobra has to be one of the scariest things that you could ever go through on planet Earth.
Yeah, especially when you're already weakened by coronavirus. So he's and got malaria. Both. And malaria. Yeah, and dengue fever.
What is dengue fever?
Oh my God, you guys never heard of dengue fever? It's like growing up, that was like when you were playing all the games with your buddies and the quicksand and the dengue fever and the whatever, all the jungle stories.
Is that what you
and
guys the... did in fucking Delco?
Yeah, what were of, these crazy
doing a
Delco
lot of dengue
games?
Fever goofing?
Yeah, I can't believe you guys have never heard of it. To me, it's like famous.
It's not.
Oh yeah, I've never heard of it.
We are here to tell you
it
is not.
I read a little bit about it that it was what it's water bound that you
it's
get
mosquito.
It from mosquitoes.
Yeah,
you gotta get some off. Thing. I mean, that should be the moral of the story here. Whenever you go to India, no matter what you're going for, we're really most other countries. I think you gotta go with mothballs in your pockets to keep the snakes away, and you gotta bring some off
because like, mothballs off, keep away snakes.
Malaria. Oh yeah, big time.
Oh, all right. I'm learning a lot today. I love it. I love
oh,
it.
Oh, by the way, a couple months ago probably, when I was going through a big tractor supply phase where I really like going to the tractor supply store.
There's a statement. Chaps' tractor supply phase.
I took a screenshot of this one product and Kate and I did some giggles about it. It was 100% coyote urine. Remember, Kate?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
I had to go to the store this weekend and buy some coyote urine because that's what keeps away skunks. So I took this coyote urine, sprayed it all around the back of my yard. And I was thinking, huh, a couple weeks ago, me and Kate were making fun of this. Now I wish I had bought stock in coyote urine. I still am unsure how they get this coyote urine. Like, do you milk the coyote's dick like to get it? Do you put coyotes in a big room with grates underneath it and it just kind of collects underneath them and falls through? How do you get enough coyote piss where you can fill a legit gallon? That's a lot of coyote piss.
That's a lot of piss. That's a lot of piss. I've watched a man down in Manhattan dump a whole gallon of urine out of a laundry jug once, and it's an enormous amount of piss.
It is. You know the best way to collect urine from a dog? Do you guys know?
No, but I know that you know, which is why we have you on this show. So please tell
us. I do know the way to do it. And if you are listening at home and you need to have, like, because sometimes vets will say we need a urine sample from the dog before they go. The best way to do it, you get a wire coat hanger. And at the end of it, you turn it into a little, almost like a little gripping arm. And then you put the cup inside that wire coat hanger. And when the dog lifts its leg to pee, you use that as a little reach around and you grab the piss with that long arm. And then you pull it back. And that's how you get the piss from a dog.
Smart.
That's very smart.
Imagine people just chasing packs of coyotes with nothing
but fucking little wire thing.
Like, how much do we got? Oh, we finally got a gallon. What should we charge for it? $19.99. That's some valuable piss.
Yeah, I don't know.
Oh man, I wonder why it's coyote. Like, would mountain lion urine work the same?
I think all the predators would work, but I think that you have more coyotes. I think fox urine works really well, too. There's a lot of foxes.
Yeah.
Oh, side note. Can I tell you a story about a fox real quick that I know?
Yes. Yeah.
So at my church, there was this fox that constantly would get up on the roof of the church. And he just hangs out, chills, like during like Sunday, we'll have all the people there. And this fox just chills on the roof line. Doesn't ever bother anybody. One of the guys that goes to the church trapped the fox over the break and got rid of him.
Why? If he's not bothering anybody?
I love
the
foxes.
Kids love seeing this bushy-tailed fox around. He never harmed anybody. I think we should excommunicate the guy from the church.
I would.
Foxes. They're a treat. Plus, they keep rodents away and stuff. They're like,
yeah, what does it hurt?
Plus, he was able to get up on that roof. He deserves to just be there forever.
I agree with that. If you get up on a roof, you deserve to stay there as long as you want.
You can claim that roof as your own.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Unless you're squirrels on the roof. That's really
Yeah, then get the heck out of here.
They get into the house. They got fleas going. Next thing you know, your dick's getting straight up eaten. You don't want that.
No.
Not on Thanksgiving.
Anyways. No. Thanksgiving week. Should we go around and say what we're thankful for?
Yeah, let's do that. We'll start with you, Cox.
I'm thankful I saw a picture, and I don't know if it was current or maybe it's old, but either way, I saw a picture of an entire brigade in the Army doing PT. It was dark out. There was a little bit of dusting of snow on the ground, and it looked miserable, and I'm just thankful that I don't have to do that anymore.
Mm. Yeah.
That makes sense.
That's a good one.
This 2020, when we have so much else to deal with, I don't have to deal with waking up for PT.
There you go. Kyle? Yeah.
Well, I spend a lot of time online, as many people might guess. I'm thankful for our little Zero Blog 30 community because they're pretty laid back. They're really, most of them are nice. You know, the guy telling us to hang ourselves. He doesn't follow us anymore. But, you know, I appreciate the community and what they do for veterans and making us look better than other veteran communities. So I'm thankful for them and my family and all that shit, but, you know.
Them too.
Catherine?
Yeah, I feel like family and stuff, like, that's a given. Yeah. We're all thankful for that. We don't have to say that out loud.
Yeah.
Thankful
take them or leave them.
Nugget rolling around in there. And, yeah, definitely for all the listeners and especially for everybody who can't be home this Thanksgiving. It's a weird one for so many people. But especially if you're in the military, you're probably going to get voluntold to do some dumb shit you don't want to do over the Thanksgiving break now. But just thinking of all of you and grateful for your listenership. And that's it.
Yeah. I am thankful that Kate is with child. I remember a few months ago before she found out she was pregnant, we were having a conversation and she was talking about wanting to be a mom and wanting to have a kid. And next thing you know, a couple months later, she's on that path, and I'm excited to see what type of mom you'll be. I think that in a shitty world of 2020, it's something that we all have enjoyed and we're all looking forward to. So it's a little bit of hope of goodness is on the way in 2021. So I'm thankful for Kate's baby that is growing.
Me too. Thank you.
Yeah. I guess we'll use that as save rounds. So we will come back. We're not going to have an episode on Friday, but we'll be back on Tuesday. Everybody enjoy your long break. We'll see you on the other side of Thanksgiving.
Wait, time out. We don't have save rounds? I got a bunch
of save rounds today.
Oh,
no,
come on, man.
I'm most thankful that Chaps cut off Cons of saved rounds.
Come on.
No save rounds today. It's down the retreat.
Damn you. You know why Chaps did that?